by people, or people that have the ability to morph between an animal and a person. Sometimes, the skinwalker falls somewhere in the middle, exhibiting both traits of a human and a beast. In Navajo tradition, skinwalkers are evil witches, or Yinaldushi, it goes on all fours in Navajo, that take on the appearance of a wild creature. Sometimes there is a motif involved, such as a coyote as a trickster or malicious one, or a crow as a bringer of misfortune. Generally, these beings are associated with bad omens, so they're best avoided. Such power isn't acquired by chance. To become a skinwalker, a Navajo medicine man or woman needs to reach the highest level of the priesthood and perform some truly evil deed, such as killing a family member. Once they have attained the supernatural powers of changing into animals, they are free to inflict suffering however they wish, following people around, tapping on windows in the middle of the night, and making scary noises to pierce the silence. The shape-shifting ability is also associated with a flight or fight response. There have been stories of native witches transforming into a cat when cornered by people more powerful than them. Other abilities include the power to transfer their consciousness to another living thing, such that they can control the actions of the host. Once in animal form, the witch is granted supernatural physical ability, such as being able to travel long distances without getting tired. It watches me. I grew up in a mostly white neighborhood in southern Utah. Though I am of mixed descent, I have a grandma who is full-blood Navajo who lives a few hours' drive away from us. Every once in a while, my dad drives me and my younger brother Joseph to her house to stay for a few days. The place is fairly remote. It's just a piece of desert land with a double trailer stuck in the middle. She has a chain-link fence that separates her plot from her neighbor's, but the distance between the two homes is astounding. In a way, I envy that way of living. You never have to see your neighbors or worry about them spying on you. I get a little weirded out every time we go because my grandma is the type of person who believes they're cursed. When Grandpa passed away, I was still too young to understand, but the one thing I remember is how my grandma openly talked about the curse and how it killed Grandpa. My dad says that Grandma's going senile, so we need to check up on her frequently. If she talks about weird things, we have to go along with it. We had a visit recently where we stayed for Labor Day weekend. I was pretty bummed out about it because some of my friends invited me to a concert, but my dad said that visiting her was more important. He feared that she was developing dementia and that it was getting worse. When we got there, the yard was very unkempt. Weeds were growing everywhere, and my grandma had spread what looked like a white powder all around her house. My dad brought his lawnmower to help clean, while I and Joseph were tasked with entertaining her. She was making food that day and told us we could watch TV while she was preparing dinner. Though it was still light out, the inside of her trailer was completely dark. We had to turn the lights on because she kept them off. All of her windows were draped in heavy curtains that let zero sunlight in. It wasn't long before she started doing weird grandma things. She handed me a Coca-Cola bottle filled with a greenish liquid and said it was a protective ointment. It kinda smelled like flowers and rubbing alcohol. It didn't sting, though. I rubbed some on my hands and neck and did the same for Joseph. I noticed that Grandma kept peeking out of the curtains with wild eyes. My dad noticed it, too, and finally asked her what she was doing. "Yinaldushi is watching me," she said in a nonchalant tone. She could have been talking about the weather or today's Powerball numbers. My dad gave me a look that told me we had to be patient with her. This continued for the rest of the stay there. She would periodically look outside or open the front door and sniff the air, but never staying outside for a prolonged period. I thought it was a little scary, but as my dad said, we had to be patient with her. When it was time to go back home, my dad threw open the grill and had a small barbecue just for us. I and Joseph took it upon ourselves to prettify the yard, so we planted potted flowers my dad bought and placed stones in interesting patterns. I don't know how this happened, but I'd lost track of my little brother Joseph. One second he was looking for stones right next to me, and the next second I hear Grandma yelling at him from the porch. "Get away from that animal, Joseph! It isn't safe!" I turn around to see Grandma with a bowl of casserole in her hand, and then I see Joseph sitting behind the chain-link fence, poking his fingers through the gap at some large dog. I know it was big, as Joseph is already large for a third grader, and yet this dog towered over him.